This is HPR episode 2006 entitled Basic Audio Production, Compression, and is part of the series Podcasting How To. It is hosted by Nacho Jordi and is about 32 minutes long. The summary is yet another explanation of sound compression in a DAW.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everyone, this is Nacho Jordi for Hacker Public Radio, and today I want to discuss a few basic audio production techniques. Today's episode will be focused on compression, but first of all I'd like to tell what's the rationale behind this series of podcasts. Maybe you think it's too specialized an issue to discuss in Hacker Public Radio, but I think everybody could benefit from knowing the basics of audio production, if only as an item of general culture, because a lot of what passes as music out there, sadly, is like a joke in my view. Some undocumented people you see out there that listen to stuff that could be done in 5 minutes with Audacity if you only have the notions of what a sampling is. And I think if this kind of knowledge were more mainstream, people would not be so fooled, because it's not a matter of taste of the musical genre you like. It's about stuff well done or stuff that is marketed as good and is just a sonic piece of crap. So I thought I would try to make my part in the demystifying these concepts, which are not that complex, and a lot of people sadly is a bit afraid of the world of music and music creation and music composition, in spite of the technical advantages of our age, just because there's like an aura of complexity or technicality, and that's not that big of a deal. If I can understand this stuff, anyone can do it, really. And at the very least, if you're listening to this, obviously you have some degree of interest in podcasts. So I think these audio notions can be of use to anyone. Other of my motivations to speak about this is that the best way to learn something is to teach it. I still struggle with this kind of audio production notions, especially when I'm producing my own stuff, because it's difficult. I mean, mostly when I record my music, it's difficult to keep the perspective when you're both composing the music and performing, and also doing the production. It's difficult to keep the perspective, and like I say, the best way to learn is to teach. So going through the discipline of explaining these concepts will also benefit me. I'm not the most savvy person about this stuff. I still struggle with it sometimes, like I said, and I'm not either the person that is going to provide the best explanation. But I know there's a gazillion tutorials that explain these concepts out there, but I think it's always good to hear stuff in a different way. Sometimes it's a learning strategy that I use quite often. It's for example, when I want to learn about a certain concept or a certain idea, something I do is looking for it in YouTube and then watching, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 videos of different people explaining the same thing. Because each of them is going to do it in their own terms, and sometimes the teaching style of one of them can connect with you more than another. Or simply one of those person maybe uses an image, a metaphor that connects with you, and the learning experience happens. So I'm going to make my contributions, and people will find my summary is awful, and other will maybe get some takeaway. And the main, like I said, this I intend to cover the basic audio production techniques, which are not in the end the main tools you use to beautify sound are like 3 or 4 main techniques and no more. You don't most of the times you can, like 90% of the time, you can get away with that stuff, provided that the source, the sound you've recorded, is of good quality. That's something that all the professionals stress a lot. The better is the recording quality, the quality of the source, the less troubles and the less tweaking around you're going to have to do with the sound. But the basic techniques you can apply to a sound there, the basics would be equalization or EQ, compression, reverb, and normalization. That's the main. Then you have more specialized stuff like in effects, like distortion, for example, you can apply to a guitar track or a voice, a vocal track, to give it more presence. Well, the effects are endless, but like I say, the main trimming and beautifying of a sound, you can do it with these basic techniques: equalization, compression, reverb, and normalization. Today I'm going to focus on compression. So basic digital editing of audio is done with usually with a program, a kind of programs called digital audio workstations, or DAWs for short. Those DAWs, what the usual way they work, most of them, or all of them probably, is that they create a visual representation of the sound waves, which once with that representation of sound, you can manipulate the sound and change stuff, and the usual cut and paste and other modifications. In the world of Linux, the main DAWs you can find are Ardor and Audacity, perhaps, and also others, like LMMS, which is more focused on electronic music, and also Rose Garden. That one I'm not so familiar with it, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I think it's no longer maintained, but it's still available for download, so maybe it's also interesting for some of you. But yeah, the main contenders would be perhaps Ardor and Audacity. What's the main difference between those dos? Probably, of course, each of them have their own navigation systems and user interfaces, but the main difference in the regard of functionality is that Ardour allows changing parameters live. As while you are listening to the sound, you can turn a knob and check out as you're listening to the stuff how does it work. While Audacity applies its different effects through, you cannot do it while you're listening to the sound. You have to apply the effect. There appears a process bar, and then you can see the, you can listen to the result. And usually, if you don't like it, you have to undo it and try different parameters. Audacity is very useful for simple audio projects that require only one or two tracks. For example, this podcast I recorded in Audacity, Ardour would probably be overkill. And Ardour is better for full-fledged audio projects, like when you're doing a song and you can easily end up having like 30 tracks or 100 tracks or whatever the RAM memory is and your patience is the limit. So those are the main DOS in Linux. And what can you do to sound with one of these DOS? Well, you can do the basic techniques I've mentioned before, and today I'm focusing, like I said, in compression, which is a very misunderstood technique. To describe it in short, what compression is, something you do to the volume of a sound with the intention to make it more clear, pleasant, or to even out the volume in different sections of a track. The volume is in a DAW is represented as is shown in the height that the waveform, the graphical representation of the waveform shows. So high volume means a high waveforms, and low volume means the smaller heights. The waveform in most of those looks like some kind of a fishbone. It's like symmetrical. And like I say, the higher the peaks in the image, the higher is the volume. When the volume of a recording is very, very evened out, usually the spikes of the fishbone will be buried together, and it looks like more like a tube. That's the graphical representation of volume. As the other aspect of sound that is important would be perhaps the pitch, higher or low pitch. And that is represented by the extension of those peaks. Low pitch sounds take longer to extend, to produce themselves, so they take longer space in the horizontal axis, while high-pitched sounds, on the contrary, take a very short space to evolve. But this time we're focusing on volume, so it's something that you can appreciate in the vertical dimension of the waveform. And what with compression, what we are going to do is like even out the spikes of the sound, and even out, therefore, the difference between the higher and the lower volume sections of a sound. Why is that important? Because our ear recognizes volume changes as relative changes. For example, if you have a song where you have a splash, drums, crash sound, and you want it to be impressive, the best way to achieve that is making sure that splash is preceded by a very quiet part. There's a certain controversy now in sound production called the loudness wars, because a lot of music producers have for some reason the wrong idea of making everything loud, as loud as possible. And all you get with that is that by the way in which we perceive sound, if everything is loud, there comes a point where your ear gets numb, and you just get ear fatigue. So the controversy was very. This controversy, for example, had a very high agitated debate around Metallica's latest album, and also Black Sabbath's latest album have been very criticized for that, because it's a wrong idea. You need contrast, like in every art. Otherwise, your senses get numb. They lock out. But we need a certain differences between high volume and low volume. But if that differences are too extreme within the same audio clip, it can hurt your ears. So we need to even out things a little, and that's what compression does. Again, thinking of the graphical representation of sound, it's like if we took a spatula and squashed the higher peaks, so they are not so prominent, so they are closer to the lower peaks. That way we reduce the difference between high volume fragments and low volume fragments. That difference is called dynamic range of the sound. And we avoid that disgusting effect. When there's too much variation, the audio clip is difficult to listen to. So how can we manipulate the sound with compression? What are the tools available in our spatula of sound? Well, depending on the shape of the sound clipping we are working on, depending on the shape of the spikes of the fishbone, you'll need to modify the compression parameters in a different way. Something that helps me as a rule of thumb to understand compression, it's seeing the compression parameters as something you do to the sound. And you understand this a bit better later. For a long time, I saw compression parameters as something you measured on the sound, as something you gouged and calibrated in the sound, but it's not a good mental model. The good mental model is you have a sound and you are doing stuff to it. So the first parameter and most straightforward that you can apply in compression is the threshold. You set a level of decibels, which is the unit of measure of volume, decibels, and then say, okay, beyond this level, we consider the volume is going too far, so we are going to start to stop it, to stop the compression will start to act upon the sound from this level on. When the sound reaches, when the peak gets this height or higher, we're going to stop it. So we set a line, it's a threshold. That's only you can get a lot of differences and just by trying different threshold levels. Then another parameter would be the attack. Attack is measured in milliseconds, is the time the compression takes to start. Once the sound has crossed the line, the threshold, how long are we going to take to react to that? How long before we attack the sound? No, that's what I mentioned before. We are attacking the sound, so it's going to, the volume has gone too far. Whoa, then we go, whoa, 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 stop it. And we don't let the volume go as high as it would if we weren't intervening. So with attack, we tell it, okay, when the volume crosses the line, wait a certain number of milliseconds and then reduce that volume. Make the growth of the volume less prominent. Why can this be useful? Why do we sometimes want to wait before applying the attack? Depending on in musical production, depending of the song we're working on, we sometimes want to create a certain accent. And the sound waves, in the moment they start, there's a section of them that is called the transients, which is the most powerful and the biggest accent lies. And sometimes we want that part to pass through, but then cut it down before it's, like I said, it can become too much volume, can become painful. So for example when you're working on a drum track, it's very very often we want the tiny first part of the drum hit, we want that part to come across so we get the rhythmical hit, but then we want it to not be too noisy after the initial hit. In that case, we would set a short attack time, just a small window where we let those milliseconds of the first hit boom come across, but then we want to take it out of the sonic space, for example, to make room for other musical instruments to get more protagonism. So another parameter that you can use is the release, which is the opposite to attack. It's also measured in milliseconds, and it works the other way around. When the sound that had crossed our threshold, our line of volume acceptable, when the sound goes below the threshold, how long are we going to take to stop applying our correction? So, do we stop stressing the sound right away, or let it continue compressed even though the volume is not that high anymore? This other parameter, I have to admit that I still don't understand it. Is the parameter that I have more difficulties with? A possible case use, for example, is for in music production. If you have an acoustic guitar, for example, where you don't want the difference of sounds to be too accentuated, you don't want to reduce the compression quickly because it would sound unnatural. It wouldn't sound guitar-like. In other musical genres, for example, in electronic music, you don't have to try to sound natural because everything is electronic, everything is artificial digital sound, so it's different. And also another thing with this release is, in certain kind of sounds, I think in the low pitch sounds, as, like I said, low pitch sounds, it take longer to evolve. So if you, in a low pitch sound, you reduce the release too quickly, the sound can distort. So there you would need a slower release. For example, if you are playing compression to a bass guitar, the chances are probably you will use a slow release to avoid distortion. But my understanding of this parameter is very limited, so I'm sorry if I wasn't 100% exact in something in this parameter. And then finally, another important parameter you can play with is the ratio. The ratio means how much are we going to modify the volume once the compression starts. In what measure are we going to slow it down, to reduce the volume, to hold its horses? The ratio, the measure of ratio is a fraction, a proportion. Usually it's like 1 to 10, or expressed as 1 to 10, or 10 to 1, or 1 to 7, or 7 to 1, depending of the DAW. And it just means, it's like saying the DAW, okay, from now on we're going like to apply a tax to the volume that comes in. So if the sound wants to grow 1 decibel, it has to give me 7 decibels. So that would be a compression ratio of 1:7. That's a pretty hard compression parameters, as you can imagine. The sound has to get very, very, very loud because before it actually gets loud, when the compression allows it to get louder. So that's another parameter that's important. And you can play, for example, with the threshold and ratio values. You get a lot of possibilities that, of course, a theoretical explanation is limited. You have to play with it and get a feeling for how everything sounds. Because, for example, you can choose to set a low threshold. Most of the sound is going to get compressed, but give it a lower ratio, like, okay, most of the sound is going to be affected, but the way we affect the sound is not very, very acute, Or you can do it on, depending on the sound you're working with, you can do the opposite. You can set a very high threshold, so the compression will only start when the decibel level is very high. But then, how much, once it reaches that threshold, how much you want the what will we want the compression to do? You want to squash the volume and don't let it go almost any higher, or are you going to be more gentle? It depends on a lot of factors and what you're trying to do. Is it music production, or is it even out some human voice for a podcast? And also, in addition to knowing the techniques, it's important, but it's always good to remark that you have to use your ears. That's the first rule. Of course, it helps knowing how the tools work. Well, it's going to help your ears, but remember that the fact that a DAW creates a graphic representation of a sound doesn't mean that you mix a sound with your eyes. You have to use your ears. And no rule is as good as what you're going to hear. And once you get a feeling for it, you probably will, all these rules and parameters will become unconscious. But it's good to know them. Like I say, I'm still learning about it, and I've probably done a few hundred of hours of compression, and still I'm not the best gifted person at this stuff, but I like to see I'm improving, and I also still on the other side surprise myself by finding things, effects that I cannot understand what happened. Considering a certain parameters were going to have a certain effect, and then finding I didn't have a clue. So I don't know if it's me or it's that the world of sounds has something about it, and it's strange. It keeps you coming for more, and I don't know, it's very interesting, and it's wonderful this age of ours that has allowed people to this range of possibilities of the things you can do with sound, and it's great. So yeah, that's all I have for you today. I hope this primer on compression can have been useful for some of you. Thank you and for listening, and have a great day. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.